that Sir Sparhawk was successful in his mission, and it was clearly that remarkable success which stampeded His Imperial Majesty's government into turning to this Pandian knight for aid in the early stages of the Sirga affair, despite the grave reservations of some highly respected ministers, who quite correctly pointed out that an alliance between the Empire and the Church of Kyrellos might well be fraught with danger. Unfortunately, perhaps, the faction headed by Foreign Minister Oskane currently has the Emperor's ear, and our Prime Minister, Pandia Subat, was unable to prevent the government from embarking on a potentially dangerous course of action. Foreign Minister Oskane himself headed the mission to the seat of the Eline Church of Kyrellos to petition Archprelate Dulmont for Sir Sparhawk's aid in dealing with the crisis. While no one can question Oskane's skill in diplomacy, his political views have been called into question in some quarters, and it is widely known that he and the Prime Minister have disagreed violently in the past. The politics of the Eocian continent are murky, for there is no central authority there. Quite frequently, the Church of Kyrellos finds itself at odds with the reigning monarchs of the separate Eline kingdoms. As a church knight, Sir Sparhawk would normally be under the command of Archprelate Dulmont, but that simple and direct line of command was clouded by the fact that Sparhawk is also the prince consort of the Queen of Elenia, and therefore subject to her whims. It was here that Foreign Minister Oskane was able to demonstrate his virtuosity in the field of diplomacy. Archprelate Dulmont clearly saw the contiguity of interest with the Empire in the matter, but Queen Elana remained unconvinced. The Queen of Elenia is young, and her emotions sometimes cloud her judgment. She clearly viewed the notion of a prolonged separation from her husband with a profound lack of enthusiasm. In a brilliant stroke, however, Foreign Minister Oskane proposed that Sir Sparhawk's journey to the Durisian continent might best be masked by a state visit of Queen Elana to the Imperial Court in Mytherion. As Prince Consort, Sir Sparhawk would quite naturally accompany his wife, and his presence would thus be fully explained. This proposal sufficiently mollified Sparhawk's queen, and she finally agreed. Traveling with a suitable escort of 100 church knights and various functionaries, Queen Elana took ship and sailed to the port of Celesia in eastern Zemok. From there, the royal party traveled north to Bosny, where an additional escort of horsemen from eastern Pelosia awaited them. Thus reinforced, the Elines crossed the border into Astel in western Durisia. The accounts we have received of the Queen's journey have shown glaring inconsistencies. Objections have been raised that should we accept the word of these Elines, we would clearly be faced with an absurdity. After some consideration, however, this writer has become convinced that these apparent discrepancies can be easily reconciled if those who so violently object will but take the trouble to examine the differences between the Eline and the Tamil calendars. The Queen of Elenia did not, in fact, pretend to have flown across the continent, as some have scornfully suggested. Her progress was quite normal, and it will be recognized as such if the learned gentleman will but take note of the fact that the Eline week is longer than ours. At any rate, the Queen's party reached the capital of Astel at Darsus, where Queen Elana so charmed King Alberon that Ambassador Fontaine humorously reported that the poor man was on the verge of giving her his crown. Prince Sparhawk, meanwhile, began to actively pursue the real purpose behind his journey to Tamale, the gathering of information about what the Elines had melodramatically come to call the conspiracy. The Queen's party was joined at Darsus by two legions of Atan warriors under the leadership of Engessa, the commander of the garrison at Sinai.